Let's call the meeting to order if we might. Let's look first, part of it would be the approval of the agenda. Does everybody have approval of the minutes, rather? Everybody have a chance to review the minutes? Any corrections and/or additions? If not, we would, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approved. Opposed? That's probably nonsense. It's approved, okay. Old business, Pam, project update.
So for the City of Evansville projects, COVID Avenue Road Diaz, of the 132 right-of-way parcels needed, 132 appraisals are complete, and 71 offers have been accepted. Walnut Street, the consultant is working on phase one pavement design and the geotechnical report. Glanbach Avenue Road Diet Project, there were some road closures that were through July 5th, and the Glanbach Avenue closure will be an additional 15 days, but Lincoln Avenue should be open. Evansville and Vanbrook signed inventory replacement project. Phase three was let for bid yesterday and has an apparent low bid of $457,750.29, and that was received from Road Safe Traffic Systems. Under Vanderbilt County Projects, Columbia Delaware Bridge, that project was also let for bid yesterday. Based on the apparent bids received, no bids were below the engineer's estimate, but the next step would be for them to review the bids to see if they qualify for, there's other criteria where they can still award it, and probably in the process.
Do you know how far they were over on the bids?
I do. But that's one of the things that end up will be moving.
Got it.
Work County Trail Safe Routes to School Project, the final environmental document has been approved.
Any additional questions on this, from this report? Not, thank you, Pam. That's all of our old business, so the new business would be looking at the TIP amendments. You should receive those, so they're here. Pam, please.
So our 2020-24 TIP has now been fully approved. We received our letters from both NDOT and KOTC, and then also the STIPs in both states have been approved. So from here forward, that's the only TIP we're going to be working with. In the past, we've been working with both of them. So our fiscal year 2020-24 TIP amendments, there are a number of them that were submitted by NDOT. The first one is State Road 62 Road Reconstruction from Rosenberger Avenue to Wabash Avenue. This project also includes the intersection at Van, Burkhart, and Cross Point on the Lloyd Expressway. So we're adding the project for preliminary engineering in fiscal year 2020 for a total of $7 million right away in 2023 for $300,000 and construction in 2024 for a total of $55 million. The project will be funded with 80% federal National Highway Performance Program funds and a 20% match from the state. Next project is a bridge deck replacement on I-64 over the abandoned Norfolk and Southern Railroad. We're adding PE in 2020 for a total of $313,000. And in 2023, also PE for $20,000. Construction in 2024 for $2.5 million. Project will also be a 90-10 split using NHPP funds as well. We're adding a US 41 small structure replacement project. It's PE in 2020 for a total of $368,000, PE in 2023 for $60,000, and construction in 2024 for $2.5 million, and that'll be an 80-20 split. A bridge deck thin overlay over various locations on 41, 69, and State Road 61. Construction in 2022 for a total of $3.5 million, and that'll be an 80-20. Ridge painting at various locations on 57 and I-69. Project is being added for construction in 2021 for $1.4 million. It's an 80-20 split. State Road 161 replaces substructure over Coles Creek. PE in 2020 for $200,000, and construction in 2024 for $1.5 million. And that's an 80-20 split. State Route 62, cleaning and sealing joints. PE in 2020 for $383,000, construction in 2022 for $3.8 million. And that's an 80-20. And then the last project is on I-64, a surface treatment. We're adding construction in 2022 for a total of $6 million, and it's a 90-10 split.
Any questions, comments, additional beyond this? Just as of clarity, fiscal year 2020, that's just began, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Just began.
Yeah.
July.
Happy New Year.
July, yeah. Year through June.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Okay. We entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any additional discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed. Pam, let's move on to other business. You're going to take us through this, okay?
Yeah.
Get a light.
Thanks. So I'm going to be providing a review. We've had a number of years now of working with the program, and we thought it would be time to do a little touch point and let you know how we've been doing. So as a region. So this is a project delivery and fiscal management report. It's for the Indiana local program only, and we're going to be talking about 2014 through current and looking forward to how some changes in policies are going to affect us moving forward.
Will you do the same thing for Kentucky as well at some point, or have you done that?
We've not done that.
Okay.
Given that there's only one LPA, basically one LPA, mm-hmm. Henderson County, Henderson City, we can take a look at it, but I'm not sure that it's going to
be
as exciting as this.
This is exciting.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah.
I really set myself up now.
Yeah.
In 2013 and 2014, and prior to that, NDOT has been reviewing the local program and the MPO programs for project delivery and how we're doing. And during that time frame, they identified that the MPOs had a prior year balance, or balances had been carrying over balances of federal funding that hadn't been spent in the years that they were offered to the MPOs, and we had a total of 213 statewide of federal funding that had not been obligated prior to 2014. And the city of Evansville was in there for, or the Evansville MPO was in there for about 22.5 million.
Is there a reason why that you couldn't, because the project couldn't move forward?
Correct.
Other aspects that?
Yeah, projects weren't moving forward to delivery, just various things of that nature. So that's a pretty big liability for NDOT. To put that in perspective, current year, this 2020, the LPA program statewide is about $250 million. So the balances for the MPOs alone almost equals the overall program this current year. And so if the MPOs had, like, they wouldn't have been able to, but had they come in and said, we want the full 213, that money has to come from another program. So it would come from the state projects, it would come from someplace else. So it was a project, it was something that needed to be addressed. So the MPOs and NDOT worked together, and we came up with an agreement. And the agreement was, in fiscal year 15 and beyond, starting in fiscal year 15, the MPOs would no longer be able to carry over any unspent federal funding that had been given to them during this part of the spending authority. No carryover balances. We had to spend our full amount in that year. We had to address the prior year balance issue, and we had between fiscal years 2016 and 2020 to accomplish that. And any unspent prior year balances at the end of fiscal year 2020 would just be cleaned off the books. There would be no money left. So
between now and the end of, between,
fiscal,
yeah, so, yeah.
We have to spend the rest of that.
To June of next year, okay.
Correct. So.
We're gonna have the capability of doing that very thing?
Yeah. You're asking some great questions, and I got some slides to answer.
So this wasn't planned.
That's right. So we came back and we relay that message to the locals, to the engineers, to the consulting firms. And we have been meeting on a quarterly basis with everybody and talking about their projects. How are you doing? What problems are you having? How can we solve them? Are you on track to spend your money? And that has proven to be effective. So 14 was when the conversations were taking place. And in 2014, we actually had available to us $5.7 million, though we only spent $3.9 million. Now, fortunately, that difference did carry over, but in 2015 is when they said, you spend your annual amount, no more carryovers. And in 2015, we didn't have the ability to spend any prior year balances. But we did spend our full amount. That $6 million is the full amount. But you can see that everybody was working hard, and the trend is going up. The items that are in blue are actual dollar amounts spent. The green here in 2020, of course, is because we're in this current year. This is what we have programmed, but we don't know whether it will be delivered as of yet. But this is how it worked. And to put it in perspective of how those prior year balances played into that, you can see how much we've been spending each year in the prior year balances to supplement our annual obligation authority amount.
So, but even with those numbers, we're still going to be, we'll have some difficulty using all the dollars, because you were
right.
Showing, so like a $22 million or so?
Yep. So up to this point, we've spent 11, we still have $10 million remaining. So we've got half of it that we need to do this year. If we don't deliver on that, then that money goes away. So, this is how, in the future, with no ability to carry over funding and no prior year balances available to us, this is how the program is going to look moving forward. On average, we get about $6.75 in federal dollars per fiscal year, and you can see the program is pretty much flat. The 2024 number that's out here, that's out far enough, that'll be adjusted by the time 2024 comes around, and it will be brought back into play with what our obligation is, which you can see the impact to the overall program without having that flexibility of carryover and those prior year balances being gone. The effect on the individual project development process. So in the MPO has always had a policy that we fully fund construction first. Any money that's left over goes towards other phases of development. So from 2014 to 2019, you can see we had 63% on construction, but we had funding with those prior year balances. We had funding available to do some development work. Also had some money to do put towards planning, such as the corridor studies, University Parkway, those types of things. And then we always support transit. Moving forward, keeping that same philosophy, fully fund construction first. Any money that's left over goes to development costs. This is what the program is going to look like moving forward. So the locals will lose that ability to have funding, federal funding, to help supplement the development costs, because most of our funding is going to have to go towards construction. The policy has been put in place to fully fund construction for a number of reasons. You can imagine one of them is because construction is the culmination of the project. We're seeing it come to fruition, so that's important. Construction is always the most expensive as well. And the locals don't have to come up with a full dollar amount. It's not a reimbursement. All they do is come up with a match. But part of the other reason is we took a look at purchase orders. So the purchase orders are cut to the locals for the federal funding, and that's what this is reflecting, the federal funding amount. And when the purchase orders are closed, any money that's remaining on those purchase orders, those balances, again, just kind of go away. That's federal funding that had been obligated towards that phase, and if we didn't spend it, it just goes away when that purchase order was closed out. So you can see that for construction, purchase order closeouts for 2014 to 2019, very small amount was left on purchase orders and went back into the system. Not to our region, though. But right away in PE, there's almost $1 million worth of federal funding that was left on the purchase orders and went back. If this isn't enough, not alarming enough to say we lost $1 million, if we go back.
So we did lose it. It wasn't reallocated.
No, we didn't. We don't get that back.
We don't get that back.
No.
And if you think about it, if we go back to how did we obligate our money for that timeframe, we spent really a small amount on PD and right-of-way and a large amount on construction. So if we take the actual dollars into consideration, it's 8% of the funding that we obligated for right-of-way was left on the purchase order, 10% was left on PD. So that's one of the other reasons why the policy is we fully fund construction first. Any money that's left over goes to the development costs, because we want to get the most out of our dollars. On the final slide, then, I'd like to focus on what we were able to accomplish in 2014 and 2015. And during that time frame, we had 19 transit projects, 3 transit routes, new transit routes were funded, as well as 16 replacement buses. We had 6 corridor projects, 7 miles of roadway rehab. Every one of those corridor projects had bike and pedestrian elements into them, whether it was just a wide curb lane to accommodate bikes and cars in the same lane, or sidewalks on one side, but they all had some bike and pedestrian element to them. And we had 5 bike and ped projects, which was 2.7 miles of multi-use path, and as well as that pedestrian overpass at Lloyd and Van, which gets a lot of use. And then we had 7 safety projects, which include 2 intersection improvement projects, and also included a partnership project that we did with NDOT on US 41 to put those crosswalks in and the the pedestrian indicators are best. So that's it, that's the review. Any other questions?
Any other questions, comments? Well, thank you very much. Grab that so we can see again.
That money was excess. Was it turned back into the federal government? Or would we just spend it, we don't lose it?
It's a process. We don't, I guess, it's really convoluted. I don't know if it's convoluted. The money's already spent by state. The one that Pam explained, that $215 million liability. The way the federal government works is that they give you the money. If you don't spend it, it goes to the states that they need it. Indiana.
The other states.
Yes. Indiana usually use all the time, I would say, use all the money, and they get more money from the states. So they already spent that $215 million. So it sits there in their account as a liability to the MPO. So those money's already spent. So there is no dollar sitting anywhere, I guess for better saying, there's no dollar sitting anywhere. So if we don't get it from state just says,
so
get off the books. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
So that additional $1 million that you were talking about
the purchase orders?
The purchase order we lost. So does that go back to the state of Indiana and they're utilizing it somewhere else, or does that go to
It goes back to the state. Yeah, it's already been utilized. It's federal money, it's already been spent.
Okay.
So it's basically coming off of the books, I would say. It's nothing.
And they're not are they redeploying that somewhere else in the state? Or is it, okay, that's what they're doing. Okay.
It was spent around here.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that, we look at the $22 million sitting up there, and everybody says, well, why don't you go and use it? Well, it's 80-20. If the locals can't come up with the 20%, you can't spend it. Yeah, you can't spend it.
Well, I was just looking at the first one, the TIP amendments here. The state includes an intersection improvement at Van Avenue, Burkhart, and Cross Point. They're all on the east side. We have two of the top 10, I'd say, at Rosenberger and Lloyd and Red Bank and Lloyd, high accident intersections. If we have any money at all, they should go towards improving, the state should go use that money to improve those intersections because of the high accident rate.
And I think the state probably can speak.
Where is the other one?
Yeah.
Red Bank. Right. So their project in 2024,
Yeah.
264 in the dead, it's the last thing on the dead, but it was in the call, but they're at Rosenberger, changing the left turn lane to help make that safer.
Yeah, The first project that you're referring to on here, that goes from Rosenberger to Wabash, it does include some improvements at Rosenberger. It's an extension of the left turn lane, as I noticed.
Actually,
I would mention it, but, you know, the accident rate there is so high for them. Everybody wonders why the state hasn't done something to those two intersections.
Yeah, they're doing it. It's part of this call. And I believe, you could correct me if I'm wrong, big chunk of this cost is from Rosenberger to Wabash.
Yeah.
It's on the west side.
Wish go another two intersections out there.
Because it's a pavement project, it's a bridge project. I mean, there's quite a bit of dollars they're spending on the west side on 62.
Those intersections did come up as red flags, where the crash data supported changes, and these were the most needed. So those are the first ones. 2025 will follow with where the other priorities are.
Yeah, I think there are three intersections: San Joe, Rosenberger, and another one. They're on west side. That they're
Colbier.
Yeah, they're making improvement on the west side.
Thank you.
Any other, any public comments? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. We're adjourned.